Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The radio home of the Buffalo Sabres. WGR Sports Radio 550 and WGR550.com. Sports Update.
All right, here's your sports update. The Sabres are still on the bye week. That'll do it for your sports update today. I'm just joking. It has been reported that the Oilers have fired GM Peter Chiarelli late yesterday evening after a 3-2 loss to the Red Wings. 31st place team in the league, by the way. The Oilers are entering the All-Star break, losing 9 of its past 11 home games. Chiarelli is in his fourth year of a 5-year contract. Oilers Entertainment Group and CEO and Vice Chair Bob Nicholson will host a news conference today at 12 Eastern time. In that game, Luke Glendening recorded 2 goals to help lead the Red Wings to that victory last night in Edmonton. Dylan Larkin also scored. Jimmy Howard made 32 saves in the win. Leon Draisaitl had a goal and an assist. Matt Benning scored. Mikko Koskinen, 24 saves. The Capitals fell to the Sharks 7-6 in overtime last night. Thomas Hertl scored his 3rd goal of the game at 1:48 into overtime for the win, and Martin Jones made 33 saves. Alex Ovechkin had his 3rd hat trick of the season and 23rd of his career. TJ Oshie had a goal and 2 assists. Braden Holtby, 36 saves in that loss. Bills insider Chris Brown returns to co-host with Steve Tasker for One Bills Live today. John Murphy will join the show from Mobile, Alabama at the 2019 Reese's Senior Bowl. Tune in from noon to 3 to hear from Bills GM Brandon Bean, Bills head coach Sean McDermott, and from MMQB's Monday morning quarterback, that is Andrew Brandt. I had to think about that one for a second. The Cardinals announced that wide receiver Larry Fitzgerald will return for his 16th NFL season. By signing him to a 1-year contract, Fitzgerald led the Cardinals this past season with 69 receptions, 734 yards receiving, and 6 touchdown catches. And it has been reported that the NFL is looking into it, the apparent use of a laser pointer directed at quarterback Tom Brady during the AFC Championship game. That's your sports update for today, but I'm going to continue it, ladies and gentlemen. I've left a couple things out. I want to finish this thought. First reported Monday that a green light appeared to flash around Brady's helmet during the second half of the game. And if you haven't heard, the baseball ballots were voted on and closer Mariano Rivera, designated hitter Edgar Martinez, and starting pitchers Roy Halladay and Mike Mussina will be the newest members of the Baseball Hall of Fame. Rivera became the first player, this is amazing, to unanimously be voted into the hall, appearing on all 425 ballots. Now, if you don't, I mean, for baseball fans out there, we're not baseball fans, to be honest with you. Back to the instigators, by the way, Andrew and Craig, WGR 550 and MSG. I don't know if that's any way to start this segment, but I'll tell you what, you know who the Yankees are. We all watched the World Series, and this guy was the closer and maybe had one of the most legendary songs. And roll it in the back if you got it. I mean, this gives me goosebumps just thinking about it.
Mariano Rivera.
I mean, he was the closer. He would come in. You got Enter Sandman. 425 ballots unanimously voted in, first player ever, which shocks me, by the way.
I was listening to some people debate this just a couple weeks ago, and they felt that Rivera shouldn't even have got in because he's just a closer. And I was thinking to myself, these guys, like, what are they doing right now, even allowed on the air? I mean, this guy is legendary. I wasn't a big baseball guy, but I'll tell you this. I would watch every single time that this guy was on the mound. He is the reason why you watch baseball. And I don't think there's anyone like him.
I mean, I'm just listening to this. Like, he must feel like king of the world right there on the mound with that song playing. The closer, fans absolutely cheering. Is there a better song? Is there a better song for an intro? I mean, there's a lot of great intros. But Enter Sandman for a guy who's a closer, so technically you're
okay,
putting him to sleep.
What was the closer? He was he was a closer years and years ago. Great big guy. He would sprint out like a madman to the mound. He only lasted in the league a couple years, but he was it was a legendary
I couldn't tell you.
I can't believe we don't know
it's
that.
It's not CC Sabathia, is it?
No. This is back. He only lasted in the league. I think it was kind of like maybe like a one-hit wonder, but he was like a great big huge guy that sprinted on, and he would just be throwing absolute missiles.
Well, tell me this. Unanimously voted, he's the first baseball player, and I came in, and when I heard that, I said, what about Nolan Ryan? Was he not unanimously voted into the Hall of Fame? And apparently not,
yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, in order to be unanimously voted, you've got to be squeaky clean, because there are people that hold grudges over with ballot voting. Like, look at Barry Bonds. I mean, granted, the steroids and all of that, and there's reasons for that, but he might have been a Hall of Famer maybe without the roids. I don't know, but all I'll tell you is he was exciting for the game. I mean, so was McGuire and so were Sosa, but you have to be like squeaky clean in your resume, because there are people that hold grudges. I mean, it's hard. Like, there are players that you can look right now and say they're surefire first ballot Hall of Famers, but would they get votes across the board? Tom Brady, most would probably think that he would get a unanimous vote, but there are a lot of people that he's probably rubbed the wrong way, whether it's Deflategate or another gate or Cheatgate or Spygate or whatever it is. I mean, you know, the Uggs. I mean, the Uggs are enough of a reason for him to miss a ballot or two. But my point is there a hockey player? I mean, Gretzky was shot right into the Hall of Fame. Didn't have to wait the 3 years, rightfully so. Like, you're named the great one. But I'm just surprised that it's Mariano Rivera that we're talking about that was unanimously voted into, you know, I mean.
But this is just in baseball, correct?
Yes.
So Wayne Gretzky, when he was voted in.
Well, he wasn't even voted. He was just given a red carpet right into the Hall of Fame.
They still have to vote on it, don't they?
I don't think. I mean, I'm sure there probably was a vote. So I'm sure it was probably pretty unanimous, which is probably why they sped up the process for Wayne Gretzky. Because I didn't even fact check that. That's how confident I am in that. But do you remember that? He did. They just shot him right in. You were in the league at the time.
Yes.
You shadowed him at the time. You shut the great one down for
him. I did, yeah. And got recognized for it. He talked in the media about it in New York. So now I feel super special.
Who are some players now that you think could be unanimously elected into the Hall of Fame?
Sidney Crosby.
That's what I said, too.
I mean, but you no-brainer, 100%. There's not one person out there that, in their right mind, would ever not vote Sidney Crosby into the Hall of Fame. I mean, it's a 100% no-brainer.
There's no flaws that follow
around. Alex Ovechkin. Are you kidding me?
Well, I'm not saying he won't go in first ballot. I'm just saying, why wouldn't people put him number one on their ballot in voting? Like Sidney Crosby. You think Alex Ovechkin too?
100%.
I have a theory on this, all right? And I don't know. You know, one of the cool things that I was obviously fitting, I was a big Mario Lemieux fan. We were talking about hat tricks, and he was second in hat tricks. But when he came back, he's the first and only player to ever play in the NHL as a Hall of Fame member, because he sat out his 3 years, was inducted, then decided to come back.
Yes.
So he played. I don't understand when you're talking about, and I definitely know I've brought this up before. And
yeah,
it could,
I know where
it
you're
could
going
be an unpopular
this.
Thought. And
it
you can call me on this.
Thought.
Call me 803-0550, 888-550-2550. My son's 5 years old. Okay. My son, I'm not going to tell you who his favorite player is, but my son knows who Sidney Crosby is, but doesn't know how great he is. He's only five.
Yep.
But wouldn't it be cool for me to be able to take my son in 4 or 5 years when Sidney Crosby isn't necessarily, you know, and he might still be performing at quite a rate then. I don't know. But when he's at the end of the line, like Gretzky was with his 9 games, why can't I say we're going to watch Hall of Famer Sidney Crosby? Why, you know, it's like when, like, and I know music's different, but you have musicians that get inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and then they go on tour later on, and you get to go see these Rock and Roll Hall of Famers. Now, there are bands that aren't in the Hall of Fame that probably should be and that will be, and people can say, oh, they're surefire Hall of Famers. I just don't understand, and maybe it wouldn't make sense or it doesn't matter, but for I don't even know if it would help growth of the game, but I guess induct players now that you are. We already know Ovechkin's going to make it into the Hall of Fame,
but his work's not done. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, I know
but
that
if,
he
if
deserves
these guys,
now.
If He's these guys, only... no, wait, if these guys decided to shut it down, pull a Patrick Berglund, I don't love the game anymore. I don't want to play.
Okay.
You're telling me that you couldn't just say, well, you have to wait your 3 years because we're not really sure, and there are other guys that we feel need to go in maybe ahead of you. And that may be true. There might be some guys that...
Yes, but there's but a there process aren't many... that happened over time, Andrew. It's
and
not
that's
about,
where things
it's not
need
about
to change
that
with
he's
the
not
times.
Going to get in.
Ah, change with the times. We're...
There is no changing with the times. Some things are sacred, and it's the way that they do things, and you have to abide by the rules. It's very simple. You're going to wait your 3 years like everyone else, and once that's up, you will be inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Yeah, no, I get
and
that.
I wouldn't be.
And I completely disagree with that because I think it would be amazing. I think it would be amazing for Sidney Crosby to be at the Hall of Fame Awards, not this year, obviously, next year, the year after, and go up and say a speech and then be able to get on a plane and go back to Pittsburgh and maybe play two nights later
so
as a new
go,
Hall of
so
Fame.
So you want him to go up. Excuse
all
me.
All right over there?
You want him to go up and you want him to have a speech. And thank all the people that have helped him over the years, give him strength, success, you know, all his teammates that he's won the Stanley Cup with, and then he's going to walk out. And then
well,
you're
you
like,
think there's that many more people that are going to help him from this day
Sidney
forward
Crosby,
that
Sidney
are going to help him become even greater than he already is?
No, but it's almost like it's your last stamp of your career is the Hockey Hall of Fame. Sidney Crosby, you're going to tell me that you want him to go up and do
as
a speech?
As stubborn as I am, I'll give
he's
you that
he's got
point.
8 years left to play in this game if he wants. Like, there's no rush for this. Let him play his career out, and at the end, that's when you get recognized for your accomplishments.
I don't like that. I hope that Jeff in the back isn't saying that's right to what you're saying. Because I don't know. I hear what you're saying. It's a nice little stamp on a career. And I totally get that. But I feel like the waiting game, there are so many guys out there right now. So selfishly, you know, we get a guy on here normally on Wednesdays that probably very well could be in the Hall of Fame and should be in the Hall of Fame. There is a long list of guys. I'm like, just get them. Get these guys in the Hall of Fame and give them the proper recognition that they deserve. And you know what? Change with the times a little bit. Get some guys in there. Patrick Kane, is he a first ballot Hall of Famer?
Yes.
Okay, why are we waiting on that? He's got 3 Stanley Cups. He's got an Art Ross.
He's
got a Hart Trophy. He's got...
How old is he? How old is Patrick Kane right now?
Well, but these aren't even going to be the – well, Patrick Kane's having a phenomenal year. He could be having a career year. But the extra years that we're talking about for these guys aren't even the glory years. Like Jaromir Jagr's not going into the Hall of Fame for what he did the last 4 years of his career, maybe because of the milestones that he passed with points and goals and all that stuff. But he's not going in there for what he did with Florida, Philly. Who else was in there? Dallas. He's not going in for what he did there. He's going in for what he did prior. He could have been another guy if he sat out a little bit longer that could have been come back and played as a Hall of Famer. You know, because he left for a couple or a few years. But anyway, I feel a little bit differently. Let's change with the
you know time. The funny thing. I was scrolling down in the NHL stats. I was scrolling down to try and find Patrick Kane. And I didn't even get to, like, the top 5 or 6 or 7. I just kind of scrolled down from, like, 7 all the way down, and I'm trying to find Patrick Kane. I'm like, where is this guy? I'm like, holy, is he having an off season? I go all the way down to, like, 33 and realize that's only 48 points. I think he has more than that. So I go back up, and I do it again. I do it 3 times and then realize, all right, what's going on here? So I start at the top. I start at Kucherov and go down. Patrick Kane's number 5 sitting with 71 points right now. This guy is an absolute super stud, no-brainer, first ballot Hall of Famer. He's had a career.
There are 12 guys right now on pace.
Andrew,
for 100.
He's 30 years old.
I know.
He's got 10 years more in this league. He's only halfway through his career, and we're talking 10? About putting this. If this guy wants to play in the way that this game is going, he has got 71 points in 50 games. He's 30. He'll be able to play till he's 40. Patrick Kane is an absolute wizard with the puck. Okay, he might become a little bit slower over time, but the way he thinks the game and the way those hands are, he'll play in this game until he wants to leave. And he's only halfway done his career right now.
Game's in a great place right now.
It's amazing, this game.
You know, this game right now, to allow players that are in their 30s to still be, you know, up here around the top and scoring, there are 12 guys right now that are on pace. Crosby's on pace for 100, but he missed a few games, so he probably won't get it. But that are at that pace for 100 points. I mean, it's about 1.22, 1.23 points per game. And you got 12 guys there right now in the top 12 scoring. They're all on pace. You think they hold it? You think, like, last year, what did we have? Three last year? You had Goudreau. You almost had McKinnon. Or not Goudreau. You had Drew. You had Kucherov.
And McDavid. So he had a nice, I think, 90, what was it, 98 or 99 with, or 97 with McKinnon.
Yeah, he missed it. I think he missed a few games too last year that would have got him. Yeah, he played 74 games last year. He missed 8 games.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, we had this discussion. It was probably about 10 games into the season. And we had that discussion with Marty saying, I can't believe how scoring is up. You look at every single game that's being played, there's 5 goals, the total. There's 5-plus goals in every single game, upwards of 9 and 10.
I said that to you this morning. I said, you know, like, look at last night. You had 3-2 Calgary, 3-2 New York, 3-2 Arizona over Ottawa, and then you had 7-6. But then I went back to the day before, which is what? What's that, Tuesday? No, Monday. So then you had 6-2, 4-2, 4-3, 4-1. I mean, you know, you go all the way back over the weekend, you had 8-5. I mean, I don't know. Like,
do you know how many players in the league right now are at a point a game pace? Do you know how many players
are at a point a game? No, yeah. I've only really ever stretched it down to how many guys are on pace for 100. But okay. Of the top 30 guys, are they at a point a game?
Yes.
Because for a long time,
it goes down into a 37, 38. There's 38 players in the National Hockey League that are going to be at a point a game. That is absolutely insane. Because if you remember a couple years back, Connor McDavid won the scoring race with 100 points. Do you remember the two guys that were second?
Jamie Benn?
Sidney Crosby at 89, and I think it was Kucherov at 89. Those were the three highest point totals in the league. And you look at these players now, there's going to be 38 players if they keep pace. 38 players are going to get 82 points.
Well,
or a point a game.
Do you remember how many points Jamie Benn had the year he won the Art Ross? Did you even know that Jamie Benn won the Art Ross?
87.
Bang on.
Was it 87?
87 points in 2014-15.
Yep.
So in 2014, like, that's barely over a point a game. Like 82 points is a point a game. So he had 87 points, won the scoring
race. That's 2014 season.
2014-15. So that's,
and you look at 4 years later, 5 years later, we've got 38 players currently right now that are looking at a point a game, but we also have how many that are going to be 100-point guys? Possibly 12, 13?
Well, 12 guys are on pace. I mean, that's if 12 guys don't fall off. But then also, I don't want to take away credit from other guys that are just under the pace.
They could
go on a tear. I mean, like, there was a point there where Jack was on pace for 100 points. I don't know what his points per game is right now, but I know he, due to the injury and
Jack's 52 points in 45 games.
26 in the league. Just under that 100-point pace. He's at 1.16, which is, it's a dynamite season.
It's outstanding. I mean, outstanding season. He's on pace for a 90-95-point season. Jack Eichel, I mean, he has played absolutely fantastic this entire season. He's grown into a big boy hockey player in this league. And you know what? I'm going to tell you, he is only beginning to start his journey of greatness.
And
because
he's
so young, and he's I think as the team gets better, I think Jack Eichel produces even more too.
Because there'll be more guys to focus on
than
just Jack.
I mean, you think Kucherov, right? Everybody's thinking Kucherov. You got to shut down Kucherov. I know he plays with Braden Point, who right now is having an absolutely ridiculous season. You know, he has 65 points in 49 games. but they still have to watch the next line with Steve Stamkos. And, you know, I mean, there's so much depth in Tampa Bay that it's not just shutting down Kucherov. It's trying to shut down the entire team because they have multiple lines that are dangerous.
Instigators Andrew and Craig, WGR 550 and MSG, talking a little bit of everything today. Hall of Fame, scoring, the standings. We're going to get into who's hot and who's not at 11:30 for sure. But just talking right now about looking at the scoring leaders and some of the points that these guys are putting up right now. And I think it's safe to say, and I don't know, like I feel like, you know, you could be drinking Kool-Aid when you say this, but, you know, feel like the game is in a great place right now with how open. What is, in your opinion, what's the number one reason for it? They've tried a lot of things. 3-on-3 in overtime. I feel like a lot more games are getting resolved. Less games in shootouts. So that's creating more points. But, I mean, that's one extra goal a game if you get there. But, you know, you have goalie equipment. I feel like they've started to hunker down on penalties. And, you know, I think players are maybe becoming a little more freewheeling. Well, you're shaking your head a little bit. Is it a number? Is it all those things?
I don't believe it's anything. Cause I don't believe that
you don't think there's any reason for this.
Yes, I do. I'll tell you my reason, but I don't think it's about reffing. I don't think there's been more penalties called. I don't think there's been more power plays. I think it's very simple. I mean, the game back 10 years ago, there was more role players in a lineup. You had your elite offensive scorers. You had your second line supporting staff to your top line. Your third line was made up of most likely a big center. You remember the old Holik? Remember the big guy from New Jersey? Bobby Holik had that third line center written all over him. He was the shutdown guy, extremely tough to play against. Usually his third line wingers, the right and left, were skilled, but definitely more physical and had a lot of jam to them. They were penalty killers. And your fourth line was they were physical presence. They were energy. They were guys that were going to be fighting. So there was a different makeup in the game. Today's game, you can have a fourth line in the National Hockey League on any given night outscore a first line. Because the guys that are on the fourth line nowadays, they're still highly talented. They're still highly skilled. I mean, the game overall in what the product is on the ice, these young kids that are coming in, you're seeing more and more 18, 19, and 20-year-old hockey players come into the league more than ever before because training in the last 15 years has been so different than what it was in the past. These kids nowadays are training at, you know, 10, 11, 12 years old. They're in the gym. They're doing things to make themselves better and stronger. There's more skill development out there. There's just so much more focus into young player development, which now is producing better, more mature, more game-ready 18, 19, and 20-year-old hockey players. And now, as fans out there, we're reaping the benefits of what's going on in youth hockey because we're getting a large amount of young players that are playing at a crazy rate right now.
Better be careful. A lot of those young players is going to do what? It's going to cost you a lot of money. Better start. Here's what teams need to start doing.
It's okay, though.
Teams need to start drafting players, young players, and stuffing them back in the minors for a couple years, let them marinate and let the young guys kind of play out some of their contracts. Otherwise, they're all going to run into log jams.
Well, that's like, what's going to happen
Look at what's happening in Toronto. We predicted what was going that we predicted this yeah. And it's going to be very interesting to see how it all plays out because we said Toronto has got an abundance of young talent. And how did they do that? They sucked for a lot of years. They get Matthews, they got Nylander, they get Marner. I'm leaving somebody else out, but they get, you know, they have Kadri now. They have a lot of good young players.
Yeah.
And you know,
now what do you do with
now
them?
What do you do with them? You know, you just
and
signed
the
first
thing is, before we started last year, you know, you looked at a Nylander, Kadri type thing, and you realistically tried to put in your mind where they would be, what projection, what contract is going to be signed with these two guys. You didn't quite know where you would have to go with a Kapanen, where you would have, or not Kapanen, but a Nylander and a Marner.
What are you going to do with Kapanen?
Well, that's a whole different ballgame.
What are you going to do with
Guy's
Kapanen?
Making $1 million, and I'll tell you right now, he is going to make some pretty good funds because he's a heck of a hockey player too. But the Marner situation, you had him kind of slated mentally at a $7, $8 million range, or hopefully even less than that. Now, this kid's played himself into a $10-plus million contract. I mean, I don't think the Toronto Maple Leafs or Dubas realized the situation. And now, all of a sudden, as much as he likes that Marner's having success, it's killing him because he is in a very, very difficult situation moving forward with this hockey team. I don't see how they can get all these guys signed.
All right, we have to go to break. We're going to do who's hot and who's not when we come back. But you know what? I'm going to tie something to Kapanen in Buffalo when we return. There might be a little tie there. See if Craig agrees with me. But I've got to remind everybody, if you haven't heard, here it is. Saturday, February 9th, 7 p.m., BuffaloRiverWorks.com. Grab your tickets. Almost sold out. Tales from the Penalty Box. Myself and Matthew Barnaby, we're going to be telling stories. I promise I will not bring your name up, though, buddy, because I saved that for this show only. Instigators, WGR 550 and MS Street G with Craig and Andrew. We'll be right back.
We're back with more of the Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
All right, welcome back. So I said there was a tie maybe between Kapanen and Botterill. I mean, it's a loose tie, but he made the move. I don't think there were three or four pieces going to Toronto from Pittsburgh for Kessel, and part of the salary, of course, being retained by Toronto. But to bring in Kessel, and they went on to win, a couple Stanley Cups, not too shabby. So, I mean, down the road, that's where, when you talk about a plan, that's the kind of move I would love to see Jason Botterill make when the time is right, with maybe one of these four first-round picks that he has in the next couple of years, whether it's two this year if St. Louis keeps theirs. Yeah. Or whatever the case may be. So it was a loose tie, as Jeff mentioned in the back. He goes, it's a loose tie, but, I mean, you can use it if you want to. So I used it, and I just thought it's the kind of move right there. You know, yep. You bring in that secondary scoring, but only he was playing on the third line. What was that line? The Bonino, Kessel, and Hagelin.
Yes.
The HBK line, I think. Yep. Okay. All right, you sound really enthused by that. You have been dying to get into this who's hot and who's not. So I'll ask you this. Old Man River, special segment for the Old Man River today. Who's hot, who's not? Because as you come into the All-Star break, you hit that point. It's like that next phase in the season. There's like little stages that you get to that teams kind of reevaluate.
It's the deep breath before you start to make your run.
That's one way of putting it, sure. So, you know, what are they? You have Thanksgiving's kind of American Thanksgiving, of course. It's kind of a loose timeline. But really, Christmas,
yep.
Then the All-Star break,
yep.
Trade deadline, and then obviously,
there you go.
You know, the final haul. So here we are. We're at the All-Star break. So tell me this. You want to go who's hot or who's not first?
Let's go who's hot. Who's let's do the hot? Positive first before we drop the bomb.
All right, but, let's do it. Who's hot? Like, give me, go from 3 to 1. So from three to your number one.
So I have the Calgary Flames right now. I mean, you have to give them props. You know, they are still a team in the National Hockey League that is completely on fire right now. Their record continues to be great with an 8-1-1. That loss in overtime came to the Sabres. But, you know, they're a team that is second in the National Hockey League behind the Tampa Bay Lightning. They seem like they have all the tools to be a very dangerous team moving down the stretch. Currently on their team, they have 5 players right now that are over 50 points. Johnny Gaudreau with 73, Monahan 61, Lindholm with 58, Matthew Tkachuk, who I just think is absolutely outstanding, is 57, and picking up the bottom half of those 5 50 point guys is Mark Giordano, a defenseman, 52 points right now, and he's in 49 games.
All right, they're hot right now for you, but are they your cup favorite? Are they a cup? I mean, JR was on last week, and he thinks Calgary's a cup contender right now, but I mean, are they?
They are a cup contender. I'm going to tell you right now, with the contracts that have been signed with this hockey team, Johnny Gaudreau, Sean Monahan, and just recently Elias Lindholm, they're under insanely cap-friendly contracts. You have Johnny Gaudreau and Monahan. Monahan's making like 6.1. Gaudreau's making like 6.8. These guys should be making $11 million plus. but they're not. They signed these guys early, and it's going to pay off for them in a big way. The Matthew Tkachuk is going to be something different. He has to sign a contract. He will be the highest paid player on this team without question at the end of the season.
The James Neal deal is not really.
It's not looking great. But I'll tell you right now, James Neal's been in the league for a very long time. He is a weapon. He's a proven goal scorer. He could be a guy that's in this locker room to try and keep this this young group together. And you know, they've got a lot of great pieces on this team. Sam Bennett, a high draft pick, is having a nice season. He's a third line player. This Mark Jankowski, who I talked about, 6'5", 215 pounds, he plays an awesome brand of hockey for a third line center. They have all
the big story there
right
now is David Rittich. I mean, that's probably the
and they needed that guy to step up, right? They needed a goaltender step up because Mike Smith has gone in the
You've loved Calgary for a couple months now, and it wasn't leading up to the Sabres game. Although I'll say this, very impressed with Calgary in that Sabres game with their speed. That Hathaway kid. I mean,
he's a fourth line guy.
He was flying around out there.
He's an energy guy. He's a physical guy. He's a guy that exactly what you want in your fourth line. He's going to give you about 5 to maybe 11 minutes a night, and he is going to skate at crazy speeds and make it real difficult on the opposing defenseman.
All right, moving on. So that's your love for Calgary. You're red hot on the Flames. We get it.
But I think Calgary. Maybe not this year is their time, but I'll tell you, another year or two, this team is going to be absolutely ridiculous.
I like when Calgary's in the playoffs. Yes, I love the all red, all of it. I mean, it's a lot of fun. So moving on. Okay, Calgary's number one on the who's hot list. Who's number two?
Number two is I counted this team out. They're a team that has struggled immensely for parts of the season, and other parts of the season have played exceptionally well, and that's the Florida Panthers. Right now, what you need to understand is they're on a three-game winning streak. This is largely because they're getting back two pieces of their puzzle that are massive.
Team.
Number one, Vincent Trocheck, who ended up breaking, his ankle? Or it was disgusting, and I cannot believe this guy's back already, but he is back, and Vincent Trocheck is a major, major part to this team. He's the second line center behind Barkov. He's producing a ton of points when he plays. Last year, he had an outstanding season with 75 points, 31 goals. And this year, he's 18 points in 21 games. He's the second line center that they've been missing, okay? And not only did they miss him, they missed another player that's a 6'5", 215-pound guy in Nick Bjugstad, who is a heck of a hockey player, former first-round draft pick. And these are two guys that out of nowhere, elite players that they have put into their lineup, and now this is a very different team because of the two guys that they just put back
into their
lineup.
They were able to hold down the fort a little bit. I mean, you know, they slid down the standings, but I still think there's room for them to climb up, and they could go
on
quite
a run
here. I'll tell
you right now, they are a dangerous team.
1-3 in a row.
30-some games left in the season. This is a team to keep their eye on with those two guys coming back.
League-wide, it's the All-Star break. Sabres on a bye week, so we are looking at kind of a recap. After tonight's games, the whole league will shut down for the All-Star break. Skills competition Friday, All-Star game Sunday. We're doing a recap. Who's hot, who's not around the league? So first, Craig said Calgary. We're doing teams here. Second, he said Florida because his cousin's on the team. And
three-game winning streak, and they're on fire with those two guys.
Guy,
back.
I'm only joking with you. And number three?
Number three is painfully for me to say, this was a team that was behind us 3 weeks ago. Now they're first in the Metropolitan Division, 3 points ahead of Washington Capitals. This is the New York Islanders. And you ask yourself, how the heck are they doing this? I don't understand why they're winning so many games. They're ultimately finding ways to win each and every night. But you ask yourself, what is the main reason for these guys to have an opportunity to win every night? And again, this is going to be painful for most Sabres fans. But the reality is Robin Lehner right now is number one in the league for goals against and save percentage. Thomas Greiss is number 8th in the league. Robin Leonard is number 1 in the league. These two guys are the reason why the Islanders are given a chance to win each and every night, because the goaltender is absolutely
outstanding. Greiss has always had some good hype around him. I mean, he's always, you know, he's had some, you know, he's not known for being a great goalie, but he's always been
talked
about.
He's not a number one goaltender.
No, but he's been talked about being a solid goalie. Like he's a good goalie.
He's a very solid goaltender.
He's a good goalie
in the NHL. I played with Thomas Greiss in San Jose. He is a very, very good pro hockey mindset. He's the true professional. He works extremely hard, and he is exactly what you want in a backup goaltender. And Robin Leonard right now has proven that he has really changed his life around. And I'm so happy for Robin with the article that came out in The Athletic at the start of the year. I'm very pleased for what Robin Leonard is doing right now, and hopefully that he can continue this and stay sober and move forward. But he's been one of the hottest goaltenders in the National Hockey League, and this is one of the big reasons why they're having success as their goaltender.
Probably the biggest head-scratching team in the entire NHL. Why would Lou Lamoriello go there? Barry Trotz, you know, last year, you know, not knowing what he's going to do with Washington at the end of the year. Questions about it after you win the Cup.
Yeah.
In the press conference, you lose John Tavares on July 1. You sign Robin Leonard and you're sitting there going like, this team is not going to be
Barry Trotz,
very good at all. And then that, you know, that's apparently
Lou Lamoriello inherited basically somewhat of a headache. Okay. And you lose your franchise player, a number one overall pick or first overall pick in John Tavares. You're thinking doomsday. You're thinking rebuild. You're thinking starting from scratch, bottom feeder. What does Lou Lamoriello do? He goes and gets one of the greatest coaches in the National Hockey League the last 20 years. He has now built an environment there that these players are thriving because of the environment. So, you know, this has to do with Lou, trickle down to Barry Trotz, and the goaltending and the team's playing great.
All right, moving on. Let's get to who's not. Who's hot, who's not? So Calgary's hot, Florida's hot, New York Islanders are hot. 3-2-1, who's your who's not list?
Well, I'm going to go with number one. My number one is Toronto Maple Leafs. Toronto right now is really, really struggling and trying to find themselves. I think they're trying to do their best to try and deflect all this negative attention, but they have not played well. They're 3 wins in their last 10 games, which with the lineup that they have of star-studded talent, there's absolutely no reason why they should be 3 wins in 10 games. But they're going through a few growing pains with some of these young guys, and they're trying to get Austin Matthews back going again. And I'm not worried about this team moving forward. I think they're so deep in talent, but they are not playing well right now.
I did my Ashley Schaefer woo, but you don't know that. That was actually John Rocker's. That's Kenny Powers, Eastbound and Down. Anyway, that was John Rocker was your pitcher that sprinted out. Number 2 on your who's not list.
This is surprising to me. Washington Capitals have decided to go into the bye week in the All-Star game sleeping. They've lost 6 games in a row now, which is very, not very characteristic of the Washington Capitals, because they're one of the powerhouses in the league. What's most surprising to me is 3 out of their last 4 games, they've allowed 6-plus goals. I mean, one goal, they allowed 8 against the Chicago Blackhawks, who can't score in the ocean. I mean, they're just not playing well. I do feel very confident that Washington will turn things around. I just think they need a little break, and it's coming at the right time.
And number 3, last but not least, this one's obvious.
This is the atomic bomb that just dropped in Edmonton. I mean, when you have Connor McDavid come out publicly and basically say, if you don't want to be here, just leave. And he's saying that to the teammates. He's trying to build the right atmosphere there. And, you know, obviously the firing of Peter Chiarelli, they're looking to make some changes there to wake up this team, this organization, and we'll see what happens with
them. All right. Two of those teams face off tonight. That will be one of our questions in the buy-sell trade. When we return, we'll tell you the out-of-town games that actually have implications potentially on the Sabres. The Sabres are still in the bye week. Instigators final segment for today coming up, WGR 550 and MSG.
Hockey talk that hits. This is the Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
All right, games around the NHL. The Hurricanes are at the Canucks. Hurricanes chasing down the second wild card spot there behind the Sabres. Blues, Ducks, if you care about the draft pick. You have Predators, Golden Knights, Wild, Avalanche. But the Coyotes, Canadiens, that has some meaningful points to it. And so do the Capitals, Maple Leafs. Just for number one reason, they were both on Craig's Who's Not Hot list right now. But that brings us to our buy-sell trade. Kyle Dubas yesterday saying that he would like to have Austin Matthews signed to an extension before the deadline so he knows what kind of cap number he's dealing with moving forward. So buy-sell trade presented by Buffalo Sports. Go to Buffalo Sports where you can buy, sell, and trade new and used sports equipment. And so here's the tweet from Chris Johnson. Kyle Dubas says the Leafs have made progress on an extension for Austin Matthews. Ideally, he'd like to get it done ASAP for long-term clarity before trade deadline, as they aren't negotiating with Mitch Marner at the request of Marner's agent.
Interesting.
Interesting. So buy, sell, trade. Matthews gets contract extension before the trade deadline. I'm going to trade this. He should. I don't think it's that hard of a deal. 8 years, come to a number. Boom, you're done. Other than that, I mean,
what's his number realistically? What do you honestly think?
We argued about this off the top of the show. We have 2 minutes left here. I don't know. I mean, 12.5 is the best player in the league, and I'm sick of the next free agent coming up, you know, out earning a guy, you know. And then listen, Matthews and McDavid are former number one picks. They're franchise faces. You know, McDavid clearly, you know, the title of greatest player in the world right now. So I think that's your league-wide cap. I don't know. I could be wrong. I don't know. 12.5 million, or if that's my number.
12.5, you think? I think he's going to take a little bit under Connor McDavid. I think that he'll funnel in at 12 for 8.
Okay, and he'll back end that with the endorsements.
Yeah, you know, like, listen, I mean, he's getting paid $96 million. Like, he's doesn't really need endorsements if he doesn't want them. But the reality is he's a young player. He's
Tavares signed his deal for $77 million, and he's making, well, I think we had the graph up there before. He's, like, making, like,
yeah,
$5 million
extra. And I do buy this. I do believe that he will get this contract extension done before the deadline, just because I think that, you know, Kyle Dubas is in a real, real tough situation, and I can't wait to watch to see what things that he's going to pull out of his hat to try and make this all work.
Max Domi will play against his old team. Alex Galchenyuk and the Coyotes are back playing against the Montreal Canadiens tonight, so tune into that one. Caps at Maple Leafs. Instigators, we're out. Back tomorrow, 10 to noon. Coming up next, One Bills Live with Chris Brown and Steve Tasker from noon to 3. See you tomorrow. Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.